That is the thing. You want to make your fans happy, and you can lose once or twice, but you can't lose all the time. It's not only about fans, it's about us as well. And to all the teams in the bottom 5, 6, 7, they're close, you know, but you need the points to get out of the situation and to take the pressure off your team.
Last week's home defeat was Fulham's fifth loss in a row and dampened hopes that René Multhuysen's arrival as head coach would trigger a rapid improvement. Fulham currently lie 18th in the Premier League table, and as 90s dance group Dream would say, things can only get better. This is the Prem Chat Show. I'm Dave O'Grady. I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by my co-pilot, Nathan Carr. And on last week's show, Nathan, we learned a whole lot of new stuff about the Red and Blue Birds, Cardiff City. And there was a great reaction across several Cardiff City forums to the show.
Yes, hello, everybody. And yeah, last week's show seemed to pick up a lot of interest, which was truly fantastic. And very much looking forward to cracking on with today's show in the company of two brilliant Fulham fans.
Indeed, indeed we are. And joining us on the show this week is diehard Fulham fan Lee, who's a collector of Fulham FC match-worn shirts. Firstly, Lee, welcome to the show. We have to ask, how is your collection going?
Thanks, lads. Nice to be on. Yeah, it's going really well. It's costing me an absolute fortune. But apart from that, it's going really well. I've got some really, really nice shirts in the collection.
Which way does it work, though, Lee? Do you have to bid for them from the club, or are they always auctioned off for charity? Is that the kind of way it works?
You could go down that avenue, or what happens is that players throw their shirts into the crowd after a certain game.
And you try to be up the very front to catch it.
Yeah, but people come to me and I ended up buying them. I've been doing it for about 20 years now. And you tend to know the differences between a replica one and a match-worn one. I'm not going to go into the differences because there's a lot of fakes out there which you can easily suss out.
And Lee, that's quite an interesting thing to sort of delve into. How did you sort of start, that sort of interest?
I'm dreading this. I was 9 years old and my dad is a Chelsea supporter, and we went to Chelsea. We used to go Chelsea and Fulham respectively, whoever was at home, because it was the local teams. And because obviously Fulham were in the lower leagues, Chelsea were in the top leagues, should we say. And my dad gave me a shirt that I believe I still got it, Andy Townsend wore for Chelsea. And I looked at it, I was 9 years old, I looked at it and went, wow, this is just unbelievable. How many people have seen this? It's been on Match of the Day. It's unbelievable. I just thought, I've got a bit of history here. And it's kind of sad, really, but I still get that feeling. I get transported to a nine-year-old when I get one of these shirts and look at it and go, wow, that is amazing. That, to me, it's just something different. It's something different.
Definitely.
A quick one, yeah. How many shirts do you have at this stage, Lee, if the first one you got was when you were nine?
Without Fulham, I've probably got about over 150.
Wow, incredible stuff. And you continue to try to get your hands on them at every match, and if not, you go down the way of bidding for them. That. What has been your most memorable catch or your favourite one so far?
My favourite one's got to be from a Fulham hero, Rodney McIlroy. I've got two. Rodney McIlroy, who kindly got in touch with me via Twitter. He played for Fulham back in the day, and he scored a very important goal up at Carlisle in 1995 to send our history going on, to kickstart our history, basically. And he said to me, look, I've got a shirt. If you want it, it's yours. I said, do you mind? I would love it. So forth, he's signed it, sent it to me, and I was absolutely made up. And someone else got in contact with me about Sean Davis's shirt that he wore against Sheffield Wednesday when we drew 1-1 with them to get promoted into the Premier League to win the Division 1 Championship. And someone got in contact with me with that shirt, and they gave that to me. But I have a big plan for the collection that, you know, I get a lot of pleasure out of seeing the collection, but I'd like to see other Fulham fans see it.
A lot of people, exactly. I was just thinking that, Lee. A lot of people, you know, with certain shirts, whether it be a cup final or a special event, they actually have the names of the actual fixture printed actually on the shirt. Are those type of shirts a little bit extra special?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've only ever been into two cup finals, 1975 FA Cup final against West Ham, and recently against, I don't really want to say their name. I'm still bitter about this 3 years on. yeah, you know, it's one of these things. There was a recent bid for an Arsenal player, Perry Groves' shirt, against Liverpool, where they won the championship up at Liverpool. 1989, I believe. That went for £9,000.
Amazing.
That one shirt, £9,000.
And it's good that real fans, though, get the chance to get their hands on them, Lee, because there's no doubt a lot of eBay sharks out there, and if they get their hands on it, a lot of these shirts, no doubt, would end up in the wrong hands, and the first thing that would happen would be they'd be sold on eBay.
That is my problem. This is what's angering me at the moment, you know. I've got a slight, not a massive contact, but a slight contact at Fulham who's trying to help me with shirts, but we've already got shirts going on to eBay, which players have given. They're trying to charge me £200-£300 per shirt when they got it for free. It just does my head in. When you want to give something back to your club, you want to give something to the fans, basically, you want to save things. You're spending your hard-earned money to try and save things and keep it into one and show it to the fans.
Unbelievable stuff. Well, we wish you the very best of luck, Lee, and hopefully, I know there's no way of regulating that kind of thing, of making sure they go to the right hands, but what you're doing is very impressive and very special. For any Fulham fans looking to have a look at your site, it's fulhamfcmatchwornshirts.co.uk, and again, Lee, you'd stress that they're not for sale, they're just to show off.
Yep, definitely never for sale. Not even a million years, mate.
Fantastic. It's great to hear a Fulham fan keeping all the shirts to himself. Terrific stuff. Now, we're also joined by American sports journalist and broadcaster Russ Goldman, whose heart has always been with the Cottagers. He has a great radio show called Cottage Talk. Russ, thanks for joining us on Prem Chat. How on earth did you become a Fulham supporter?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and it's going to start with a player, an American player named Clint Dempsey. Clint Dempsey used to play for my club here, a local club, the New England Revolution, and Clint decided to come to England and come to Fulham. And at that point, I had been a fan of the Premier League for several years, but had not found a club to be my own. I tried Chelsea, tried Manchester United, and neither one of those clubs would really take with me. So I started to get into Fulham and followed the progression of Clint Dempsey. And really, when it really started to take, unfortunately, during the year of the Great Escape, where Fulham were basically fighting for survival to stay in the Barclays Premier League. And that's where it really started to really come in with me. And I really became a fan was that season. And, you know, every match mattered. Not that it doesn't now, but we're talking every match was a fight to the bitter end just to get points, just to stay up. And I have to tell you, that's when I really became a Fulham fan.
And Russ, how difficult must it be then sort of monitoring the team's progress over in the US? I mean, is there a lot of exposure from the media out there?
Well, you know what? It's gotten so much better from that point back then. Back then, I would basically be going online and basically following just live text messages of the games. That's how it was back then. Now it's unbelievable because now you have the coverage of NBC, and I actually have better coverage here in America than they do in England, which is insane to say. I watch every full match. I can either watch it on my iPad or live on the TV. The media coverage, well, there used to be Fox Soccer Channel. That's now gone. But you still have Fox, which has the coverage. And NBC's coverage of the Barclays Premier League is really excellent.
I think I'll actually vouch for you on that one, Russ. I watched the Fulham Stoke match there recently on NBC, and I have to say I was very impressed with it. You know, the coverage is really good. They've got good people on, and you know, it's great, I suppose, for a lot of Fulham fans and Premier League fans in general in the US to be able to keep up with the Premier League like that.
It is, and it's funny because I'm one that really believes that the Barclays Premier League is really going to take off here, and they just needed the proper coverage to really show it. And now that they do, and listen, I actually talked to someone that works with NBC and told me over the weekend that the ratings have been very good. They've been very encouraging. They've gone way beyond what their goals were originally when they bought the Premier League at this point. So things are going very well with the coverage. Not only that, the coverage in, you know, I guess you could say the soccer coverage here, and of course over here, it's still called soccer. I call it football. They call it soccer. It's gotten much better where right now you have ESPN doing a daily show. You have Fox, you have Fox Sports 1 doing a daily show. Then of course, you know, again, in the, I guess you could say in the mainstream media, we're talking about newspapers. It really isn't where it needs to be, but everything's on the internet now, and the internet coverage is excellent right now. So for me, it's getting to where I want it to be, and it's so far from those days when I really started getting into Fulham in 2007. And partially the reason why I do my show, guys, is because I'm just so used to round the clock coverage of my teams here. Fulham really don't have that. They don't. You know, again, I'm doing a show partially because I wanted more talk about the club, and that's why I started Cottage Talk.
That's great stuff. I'm guessing you're in the minority in America in terms of supporting Fulham. I mean, have you been able to sort of persuade any others or friends to take an interest in Fulham? You know, are there a lot of American Fulham fans?
There are, and to be honest with you, it did start with players like Clint Dempsey and Brian McBride and other players where at one point Fulham were known over here as Fulham America because there were several players. Now there's basically just a player in the academy, Emerson Hyman, who's in the academy, who's an American player. But basically, there's FulhamUSA.com. There are chapters popping up everywhere. Fulham NYC, Fulham Florida, Fulham Texas. The interest is there. It is growing. It's probably not growing as quickly as it did when, say, Clint Dempsey's there. But that doesn't matter because the fans that are Fulham fans are not just about one individual player like a Clint Dempsey. Because I still get asked to this day, why did you stick with Fulham? Because Clint Dempsey's gone. I said, I'm not a Clint Dempsey fan. I'm a Fulham supporter. There's a big difference. He brought me to Fulham, and that's it.
No doubt the Fulham fans in the US, Russ, would love to see Fulham play a couple of pre-season friendlies over there. It would be huge for the club. I know a lot of Premier League clubs seem to be jumping on that horse these days.
Yes, well, it's funny you mention that because I actually did a Google Hangout with the Fulham owner, Shad Khan. And Mr. Khan did mention that he's hopeful to be having one in Jacksonville this summer. And he was asking for suggestions. I live in the Boston area. And I suggested to him, and he wrote this down. I said, why don't you have Fulham play Liverpool at Fenway Park this summer?
What a suggestion. What was the reaction?
He thought it was a good idea, and he wrote it down, and we'll see if my suggestion becomes a reality.
Oh, that would be very special indeed, especially for Fulham fans all over the world, because it would really put it at the heart of the globe. Thanks a million for that, Russ. Terrific stuff altogether there, hearing the spread of Fulham FC across the world and in the USA. Now, let's get back down to business and the day-to-day and week-to-week stuff surrounding the club. Lee, it's not going good. Let's not hold any punches here. Another defeat, disappointing against Swansea. I thought Fulham might have been able to have that game, but it wasn't to be. When Swansea get going, they overcame you guys. What's happening?
First of all, before I start, can I just say, Russ, happy Thanksgiving, mate. All the best. But yeah, like you say, me and Russ have been speaking about this for the last couple of weeks on Cottage Talk. It's Martin Yol has to go. There was a slight improvement, but I believe it's your new man. I can't say his last name. The new Dutch lad. I think he's been brought in. He's been brought in to kind of shunt Yol out of the way, sort of thing. Take him upstairs. It's depressing, really. You know, against Swansea, you're at home. We used to be, Craven Cottage used to be a fortress. not so long ago. And, you know, we beat the likes of Juventus when we had to, Hamburg, Wolfsburg, even the great Shakhtar Donetsk, which were a great team. That's the best team I've seen down at Fulham. Man United, we didn't fear no one at home, but now it is depressing. I think Martin Yol's tactics are all wrong. Everything about him is wrong. But now we've got the new owner. Hopefully, with a bit of luck, he will. I think he's given Yol enough chances now that I don't know.
I mean, strong words, Lee. But I mean, in terms of last weekend, you know, if you were to look at the positives, in that Darren Bent did carve out a lot of opportunities. On another day, maybe he could have scored. You know, as Martin Yol said in his post match comments, that he could have maybe scored a hat trick. And then it's just a bit of quality from Jonjo Shelvey. So, you know, maybe you've been a little bit
avoid of luck. To a degree, I kind of empathise with that. I respect that, but it didn't happen and it's not been happening for the last couple of years. It's been a massive slow decline in the way we play in football. The last football game I went to was West Brom at home. Took my little boy. And it was just so... We played good one-touch football, but there was no... The middle was not there. Up front, forget it. It was just... Berbatov didn't want to know. And it was quite sad, really, watching the club that you love just kind of fall to pieces when you've got such a great team. It's clearly the manager needs to go. You know, if Ben scored 3 goals, it weren't his day. That's life. We go on with it, you know?
Fair point.
You can't come out and say, as Martin Yol said, oh, we could have got a hat-trick. Oh, well, we could have done, but he didn't. So let's look at that.
No, that's a fair point, Lynn. Coming to yourself, Russ, I mean, these games against teams around you like Swansea usually build as must-win games and, you know, it's very important to take the 3 points. How sort of upsetting in the midst of what's been going on at Fulham is it to, you know, suffer defeat against a team around you and battling for the mid-table finishes come the end of the season?
Well, see, the funny thing about Swansea and... you know, I have much respect for that club, and Fulham have struggled to beat that club at Craven Cottage the last 3 years. They've lost to them, and their style of play is an issue for Fulham. And like you guys mentioned, Fulham started out bright. The changes that Muenstein has started, again, he's only been with the club for a few weeks now, so change takes time. And I guess I'm a little bit more patient. And I actually saw positives in this match. Talk about the first half. And like you mentioned, Darren Bent did have chances. Could have, should have, would have. At least he did create some opportunities. The bigger point was they did seem more, I guess you could say, disciplined. They seemed more like playing together than I had seen in the past. And that, to me, was a step. Was it a big step? No, it was a small step. I wanted to see some kind of improvement, guys. And I actually saw it in Swansea. I disagree with Lee. Someone, I get where Lee's coming from, because again, there's frustration because like Lee, I remember that Europa League club. I remember those teams that would fight through and through, and we are missing that. But I did see a glimmer of hope in this last match. I did, because I just saw someone, a big step in the right direction. It might not seem it, was making Scott Parker the captain. Scott Parker became the captain, and they took it away from Dimitar Berbatov.
Yep.
While Brett Hangland has been injured, Scott Parker was the captain for this match. And he is a leader. And if Fulham had a team of Scott Parkers, they'd probably be a top 7 club, because that's the type of player that guy is. He's a true leader and works so hard the entire match. And what I saw was a team, again, it has holes. The central midfield is still not where I want it to be. But the talent is there. Muenstein needs time to harness that talent and to be able to make them play tighter in the back and be more aggressive up front. It's that balance that is really going to take time to really, really come out. And they did come out with a new formation in this match, and I could see the difference. But over the course of the match, Swansea was able to adjust. And again, they got a wonderful goal by Jonjo Shelvey to win the match. But if you think about it, if you really look at it, you can be disappointed with losing the match, and I was. But if you look at it as I'm a glass half full guy, I hate to admit it, I am a positive guy. I did see improvement, and I want to see improvement. And I listen, I understand why Lee wants Martin Jol gone. I've said on my show, I finally gave in. I said if the club made the decision to move away from Martin Jol, I wouldn't be against it. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that Muhlenstein is going to be taking over at some point. I have no idea what type of reign he has there right now, what type of role is going on between the two coaches. It's very interesting. But the one thing I do know from people that I've talked to that know Muhlenstein, this is a training ground coach, and he's changing how Fulham are playing. That's a positive. The change has already begun, and I think that's getting missed here. We're all worried about Martin Jol leaving. I think that is not the most important thing. The club did act. They brought in a coach.
It's terrific hearing you speak so positively there, Russ, about the club and that. But without bringing a downer on things, to go back to Lee's point about the performances at home this season and how the fact Craven Cottage used to be a fortress, terrific. I remember Man United, Alex Ferguson going mad before because Fulham got a late equaliser in Craven Cottage before, and a lot of the big clubs hated having to go away to play there. But is it becoming, for particularly clubs around the middle of the table and even in the bottom half, is it becoming a place where clubs are going to have a good day at the office? Is that a major concern?
Oh, it totally is. The fortress that Craven Cottage used to be is gone. And it's completely gone. Lee is right. That fortress is gone. And now they have to work to getting it back. And listen, when you have a match and I believe Lee was mentioning West Brom when Fulham should have won this match, and they've been giving away so many goals from set pieces. It was very discouraging. And again, that was a match where in years past, that was a victory, guys. Cardiff coming in to Fulham, that was a victory, and Cardiff looked like the home side. All this has to change. It needs to change. And it is disappointing the way that they played at home. It really is. And again, maybe it's the positive person that I am looking for something. I did see a little change in the last match, even though they lost. It's an opponent that I still thought they were going to struggle to beat at home. Going to West Ham, like I've read, is a very important match. Fulham played terrible against West Ham at Upton Park. And most people say that is a given. They're going to lose this match. They cannot have that attitude. They need all 3 points. They need to start winning matches and changing the perception that Fulham are in right now. They are in the relegation zone. This is not a team that should be there. They have the talent to be a top 10 side. They need to start having that attitude that we're a top 10 team, and we should not be playing like a team that's fighting to survive. That's what's upsetting me right now. Because I just wrote about this on Cottage's Confidential. I don't want Fulham to have the attitude that Fulham are a team just to be worried about survival. It should be about being in the top 10. They've been in the league since 2001. Survival is not good enough. They should be able to get into the Europa League each and every year. They need to be in the top 10. That should be the goal. All of this has to change. Does it take Martin Jol to leave for that to change? Possibly. But I do think that bringing in Rennie Muhlenstein is a step in the right direction.
Okay, step in the right direction. Easier said than done, what a lot of Fulham fans would say. Lee, Russ mentioned the big match against West Ham. I was reading a couple of Fulham forums and a couple of articles about the club this week, and a lot of people seem to be suggesting that the West Ham game is last chance saloon for Jol. Would you go along with that?
I hope so, yeah. I really don't want it near Fulham. It's a must-win game. You know, we, as you know, since we got into the Premier League, we've been hopeless away from home. What's our record? It's a very, very... We never win away, basically. We've won two away this season already. So hopefully, with a bit of luck and... Russ is just superb. Like you said, Scotty Parker, captain, superb. That's the best choice that's ever happened down at Fulham in the last year and a half. That is just amazing.
Would there be any Fulham fans under the impression, though, Lee, that they'd actually be deep down maybe, that really want Martin Jol out, deep down maybe looking for the club to lose because it might be the straw that breaks the camel's back?
I think there'll be a few people, I know many of people that are not happy with Martin Jol and his tactics. And this goes back since he kind of started. I was up at FC 20 when we played away in Europe, FC 20 two years ago, 2011. So, December 2011. So, coming up to 2 years. And it was just dire. The way we played football was dire. There was nothing there. Don't get me wrong, he's a good manager. He's proved it at Ajax, he proved it at Spurs. But, you know, Fulham were going places under Roy Hodgson. But now we've just took a massive step back. We just need to clean the slate, get rid of him, push him to one side and say, look, thank you very much, it's been nice. There's your check, see you later, goodbye. Bring in someone else that has the focus, that has the drive, that has kind of like the oomph that we need, that the players need to get going, basically. And I don't think Martin Jol's our man. I really don't. I'll never back Fulham to lose ever in a million years. That's never me. But even away, I've been away many a times and watched us get beat up at Man United 5-1, Newcastle 5-1 on a Tuesday night. But you know, that's life. You get on with it. That's the team you love. You know, they come before anything in life. And when you've got someone at the helm that you feel that does not do your club justification, you kind of want him out ASAP.
And Lee, staying with yourself, just quickly on focusing on Saturday, West Ham have been really struggling for goals of late. I mean, as the cliche goes, if you can keep them out, then you've always got a chance of scoring at the other end. Do you think that will be, you know, a good advantage for you in the fact that they've been really struggling to put the ball in the back of the net? If you can sort of be resolute, defend, you know, solidly, and then use the pace in the team to really have a go at West Ham.
If Senderos don't play, then yeah, they won't score. Sorry, I had to say it. But yeah, that's the best form of defence is attack. But you know, I think we should try Bent up front. Keep Berbatov on the bench. Put him on when need be. I think we can do it. I'm always positive, but Jol's got to go. I'm always positive. We can win this. I know we can. We've got a great, kind of a good midfield, you know, Scott Parker plays, so forth, and Boateng. We need a little bit of fight in there, a little bit of aggression to show, like, someone to pull the socks up, a little bit of pull your socks up and get at people, fight for the ball, win every challenge, and this will spur other people on. They'll do likewise. And then, hopefully, with a bit of luck, a nice little corner, Ben gets his head on it, and we go 1-0 up in the 80th minute.
It's gone a long time since we kind of, you're looking at a Fulham talking like that though, Lee, for beating West Ham, you know what I mean? Kind of clutching on a corner, you know, it goes to show how much the Premier League has changed, it's probably fair to say as well. I want to put a point to both of you guys, and I'll give this one first to Russ. Looking at the season as a whole and looking to the future and the end of year, which hopefully will see Fulham survive in the Premier League, and perhaps if we were all as optimistic as you, Russ, we might see Fulham in a top half finish. But let me just remind you that Kieran Richardson mentioned this week how he helped West Brom make history in 2005 by staying up after being rock bottom at Christmas. I see Martin Jol is monitoring certain players, a certain South African midfielder, Thuliani Serrero from his old club, Ajax as well. There is, Russ, chances there that the club could develop enough, and particularly this transfer window in January is going to be crucial.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to be honest with you, and I think Lee would back me up on this, part of the problem that Fulham have had has been the ownership change. The ownership change and what was going on with our former owner at the very end really set Fulham back, because Fulham last January, went for all these loan deals, basically did not spend that much money when they had just the summer before sold their two best players. So you're thinking in January, Fulham are going to try to find players that are of that value. And instead they go for these short-term loan deals. And then this summer you have the ownership change and all of a sudden we're bringing in quality players, but they're all older. They're all these older players. There are no building blocks for the future. I'm hoping that January is not the time when you build your roster. It's over the summer, but there is an opportunity to bring in a couple pieces to help you, you know, like you said, get through the year and then build towards the future. And I think a central midfielder is something vital that they need. Either a passer like a Danny Murphy or a player like Moussa Dembele. They need someone like that really badly. And until they get that, there's going to be that hole that Fulham currently have in that position of the field. They also might need some help in the back because, again, we don't know about what's going on with Bretta Hanglin. Bretta Hanglin is dealing with a sciatic nerve issue. And who knows? He might be back in a couple weeks, but he might be gone for the season. We don't know. So they're going to need help in those two areas. They don't need help up front, I don't think. And at some point, they got some big decisions to make. I think Lee will back me up on this. Does Brian Ruiz have a role on Fulham? Or do you sell him at some point? Because I've been a Brian Ruiz backer, but at this point, what do you do with him? Because I don't know if he's a good player for the Premier League. I don't know if he's built for it. And then you got decisions with Berbatov and Bent. I think Fulham's really main moves will be made over the summer, but there are moves that they can make in January to get them through the year and then have us look forward, because that's what I want, guys. It really drives me crazy that there's so much talk about relegation. I know where they are. I'm not blind, but I want Fulham to be a top 10 team, and that's what the owner wants.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And Lee, just in terms of transfers and January being a critical point in terms of Premier League survival, first things first, I know Fulham are desperate to cling on to Moussa Dembele. I know Man United and Liverpool are circling, which will be a killer blow to the morale of the club more than anything else. And I also hear that Fulham are perhaps monitoring Phil Bardsley's contract situation at Sunderland with the view to a January move. Dembele would be a killer blow, but Bardsley's hardly the answer, is he?
Yeah, totally agree. But let's track back what you said about Kieran Richardson when he played for West Brom. The only reason West Brom stayed up is because Fulham beat Norwich 6-0 that night. That day, Fulham beat Norwich 6-0. Norwich needed to win, and they would have stayed up, but we beat them 6-0. The legend that was Brian McBride. But yeah, like you said, Moussa Dembele he seems to be firing on all cylinders in the reserve development, whatever you want to call it, team. I think give him a chance, give him a try, but Bardsley, no. We were linked with Lee Catamol as well in the summer.
There'd be more cards to Fulham, I can imagine, than ever before if that was the case.
No. We're going down the wrong route. Like I said to you earlier, you kind of like see Fulham under Roy Hodgson. We got to Europa League final, which was beyond my wildest dreams. And then he leaves. Yol comes in. Well, Mark Hughes come in. We sustained. Went back into Europe. Yol comes in. And literally, we've just took a massive decline. And then we're looking at players like Lee Catamol, Bardsley. This is not right. This is not Fulham. This is not the Fulham that we've known for the last 13 years. You know, when we got into the Premier League, we signed one of our first signings was Van der Sar from Juventus, I believe. And
fantastic signing.
That was superb. I could still remember where I was, where I saw it, everything. It was just a great. I was jumping in Tesco, I was going crazy. But again, like I said, look, being linked to players like Lee Catamol, Bars, it's not Fulham. It is not Fulham. We should be attracting more all-round players. Give our development team a chance. Put a few players through. Put Moussa Dembele in the team for West Ham. Give them a try. We've got nothing to lose, have we?
That's a fair point. I'm just interested in to hear your predictions for the rest of the campaign, both of you. Starting with yourself, Lee. I mean, are you going to stave off relegation and, you know, clinch a mid-table finish, or how do you see the rest of the season panning out?
I'm just going to say nervous. I'm going to say very nervous. I'm not going to put anything on it, but it's going to be one of them ones. It's a touchy feeling.
Do you think it'll be a case, Lee, that maybe you'll be banking on teams that are a lot worse than Fulham, maybe the Crystal Palace and that, maybe relegating themselves more so than...
Yeah. I said this earlier on this year. I never thought we would get to this point, but every year I've always said, as long as we stay up, we're all right. And we've never kind of really had, apart from 2006-07, where Danny Murphy scored the goal against Portsmouth. Apart from that, to save us, 75th minute, it was, apart from that, we ain't really had much of a disastrous season. This season is looking kind of tragic, but like you said, I think Palace will relegate themselves, Cardiff will go down, and I think Sunderland will do it as well.
Interesting stuff, guys. I mean, just to round up, if we wanted to find you on Twitter and your respective sites and podcasts and stuff, Russ, where can we find you on Twitter? And do you want to give your podcast a plug?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Russ_Goldman. You can also find on Twitter Cottage Talk, all together Cottage Talk. And my show, Cottage Talk, is on blogtalkradio.com. That's where you can find it. You can also find it on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app.
Wonderful. And Lee, yourself?
Matchworn Shirts 1 on Twitter and www.fulhamfcmatchwornshirts.co.uk as a website.
Absolutely fantastic stuff altogether. Russ, I hope we see Fulham playing their pre-season friendly to the Premier League, that is, next in the USA, and banking a lot more American fans like yourself. Lee, I hope you get yourself hands on a jersey of a player that you bring in maybe in January and keeps you alive in the Premier League and fires you upwards, onwards and upwards, as they say. My thanks to Russ Goldman, Lee Adams, and of course my co-pilot Nathan Carr. We'll do it all again very, very soon on Prem Chat. From myself, Dave O'Grady, have a very good evening.